And you can try him. And he is always faithful. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We continue our study, Avoiding Confusion. Tonight, we're going to begin a new lesson about the reliability of the Bible. Second Timothy chapter 3, you'll notice the scripture's not on the screen, so you got to actually open your Bible. It's a good thing to do. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17 is where we're going to find our text. And tonight we begin a new study, a new lesson about the reliability of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again, so thankful for the blessings of the day. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone who's able to gather together tonight. We're thankful for those joining us online who could not be here physically. We just pray that you'll help and bless, that we can all come back together very soon. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless your word tonight, that you'll guide us into all truth and teach us by your power, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Please help that our faith can be strengthened, and Lord, that we can be equipped to be more faithful and ready witnesses for you. And Lord, we pray anyone hearing this lesson tonight who's never been born again, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict their heart in such a way that tonight would be the night they would turn from their sin and put their faith in Christ alone and be saved. Lord, we pray for the saved that you'd help us to be true disciples, following you faithfully, working to reach others and make disciples for your glory. Lord, we pray that the number of the disciples would be multiplied in this place to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15, we know that the young preacher, the young pastor, Timothy, grew up with a mother and a grandmother who taught him the way of salvation. But from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures, and it's in the Scriptures that we can know how to be saved. It's through the Scriptures we can be made wise unto salvation, and salvation is not by works, but it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we understand in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. This is not the word of man, this is the word of God. That's one of the main criticisms that always comes. Well, it's just a book that was written by men. No, it was penned by men, but it was written by God. God is the author. It's God-breathed. And it is profitable. The Bible is good for you. It's good to teach you what's right. It's good to teach you what's not right. It's good to teach you how to get right, and it's good to teach you how to stay right. And God's word is profitable in our lives. And verse 17 tells us that it's in order that the man of God may be perfect. Now, that word perfect doesn't mean that you're without sin. None of us are without sin. There was one who was without sin, and that's God, the God-man, Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that we're sinless, but it does mean that we can come to a place of maturity, to a place of completion, that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, filled with the goodness of God, doing the works of God, and so we can grow up to spiritual maturity. Now, if we're honest tonight, we all know that we've got a lot of growing to do. Amen. Sometimes I get around some of the fellas and I think sometimes I've matured a little bit. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. I was hoping somebody. Like, I mean, I just compare to you know, 20 years ago, and I think I've grown up a little bit. But then sometimes I do things and I say things, and that makes me question my level of maturity. Sometimes I laugh at things that are kind of silly, and I think maybe I'm not as mature as I'd like to think that I am. And I would just like to challenge you all tonight, the fact that all of us still have a lot of growing to do, especially if our level of maturity is measured not against each other, but it's measured against Christ. And so we're growing to be like him. So we all got a lot of growing to do. And the Bible is the source of maturity. It's the scriptures that help us to grow up so that we can be, that's what it means when it says that the man of God, in order that, so that the man of God can be mature, truly furnished unto all good works. And we don't work in order to become saved. We work because we are saved, and we work to the glory of God out of a heart of gratitude for who he is and what he's done for us. Now, a lot of times we talk about the Bible, we refer to it as the Word of God. And that's right, because the Word of God, the Bible, is God's Word. And the Bible has been under attack for a long time. You can go back to Genesis 3:1. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And from the very beginning, Satan tried to cause doubt and question the truth, the veracity of the Word of God. And that hasn't changed. That's one of the reasons we want to have this lesson, is because there are a lot of attacks on the reliability of Scripture. And so tonight and next week at least, we'll be talking about the reliability of Scriptures. Now, questioning Scripture continues to this day. The secularism has desensitized. One author said, secularism has desensitized many people sitting in the pews of faithful gospel-preaching churches, leading them to unwittingly hold even heretical doctrine. And so people are so influenced by secular society, so influenced by the culture, that they question the truth of Scripture. They question and start to believe lies. Bible scholar F.F. Bruce wrote, "The evidence for our New Testament writings is ever so much greater than the evidence for many writings of the classical authors, the authenticity of which no one dreams of questioning. And if the New Testament were a collection of secular writings, their authenticity would generally be regarded as beyond all doubt." In other words, you go back in history and you look at the writings of men like Plato, and we don't have very many copies of those manuscripts, and nobody questions it. We think that they're true to what was written. We don't have very many manuscript left. There aren't hardly any copies of those writings, and people just accept it as that's what Plato wrote. That's fine. We take that. But because the Bible has religious implications, because the Bible has implications to who you are and your standing with God and the existence of God and your accountability to God, now we want to question it. But if this collection of writings that you hold in your hand called the Bible, if this was secular writing, then it would be accepted beyond all doubt. There's so much evidence. And so people's problem with the Bible has nothing to do with the historical record or anything at all. It has to do with the hearts. It has to do with the hearts of men and women. So what we want to do is get to the fact that we can trust our Bibles. We can trust our Bibles. Now, the Bible has inspired words. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Bible was written by men. Well, it was penned by at least 40 different human authors. Those 40 different human authors lived and wrote over a period of at least 1500 to 1600 years. They did the writing that they did on three different continents in at least three different languages, spanning a period over 1500 years. I want you to consider that for a moment. Because listen, people right now today can't get their story straight. If we were standing in the parking lot and there was a fender bender and the police came and interviewed five different people, they would get five different stories. That's what would happen. But we've got the Bible written by over 40 different people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of walks of life, over 1,500 years, three different continents, three different languages, and it all fits together in perfect harmony. Listen, only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And so it's inspired by God. When we look to the Scriptures, it tells us that the Word of God, in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does that mean? Well, God's Word's like a sword, and it pierces into what makes you who you are. It gets to the heart of the matter. That's why people don't like it, because it gets down to who you really are. And what's that two-edged sword? Well, it's that sword that's sharpened on both sides. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deeper than any sword because it gets down to who you are and what you are made of. And when you believe in the Bible, you're believing in the incorruptible Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This isn't just a book. This is the word of God. And 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These writings that you hold in your hand in your Bible, they're not the writings of men. It is the writings of the Spirit of God. Henry Morris said there are, in fact, over 320 quotations from the Old Testament record in the New, as well as over 1,000 clear and definite references to it. Always the context indicates the belief of the speaker or writer that he was referring to the authoritative word of God whenever he made such a quotation or reference. So we talk about all scripture, we're not just talking about the Old Testament writings of Moses or of David. We're talking about the whole Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to the last amen in Revelation, everything in between. And those writers in the New Testament pointed back to the Old Testament, and they all fit together as the word of God. It's filled with inerrant facts. We can go back and look at the Bible, and it's accurate in its history. It's not a science book, but it's accurate scientifically. It's accurate when we look at the prophecy, and God's word will stand the test. When you look at the history of the Bible, there are a lot of things that the Bible talks about. There were a lot of critics that mocked the Bible and what it talked about, how the Hebrews were making mud bricks in Egypt, and talked about Ramses and all the different arguments about whether any of that really happened. And for a long time, critics of the Bible said that that was just myth. It was just made up. But now we have artifacts that show us the truth. That's a mud brick from biblical days. For a long time, critics talked about the Hittites that are mentioned in Scripture because there was no archaeological evidence for the Hittites that the Bible talks about. And they said, well, it's just a made-up people. They didn't exist until archaeologists found Hittite art. And that's a piece of that from the Hittites in the British Museum. This is a mention of Belshazzar. This is a clay cylinder, and the name Belshazzar is mentioned here. For a long time, critics of the Bible said that Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, didn't exist because they hadn't found anything archaeologically to substantiate that until they did. And all I'm trying to do is show you just a few examples. The reality is, when the Bible says something, it's true. And it doesn't matter what the archaeological people say. If they'll dig enough, they'll find something that'll back it up. Because what they find is always going to match up what the Bible says. And it's happened time and time and time again. And you can look at it scientifically. This is one of my favorites. Isaiah 40 and verse 22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You know, for a long time, the smartest people in the world thought the planet was flat. And there are still people alive today trying to prove that the earth is flat. Sadly, some of them have met their demise trying to prove that in their own home-built rockets. I'm not making this up, and it really is sad. But God said, hundreds of years before Christ, that it was a circle. He says in Job, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And earth is a circle and it hangs in space, and God's word said so before man could ever figure it out. And there are example after example after example that we could give scientifically, historically, archaeologically, prophetically. I'm just here to tell you tonight that you can trust your Bible. And we're going to break up into our small groups now, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that. But listen, guys, don't neglect this. This is the living word of God. God breathed, and it will change your life if you will put it into your heart. It's the way that we know him. It's the scriptures that made Timothy wise unto salvation, and it's what will make you wise unto salvation if you'll put your faith in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We pray anyone here isn't saved, that they'll learn to trust the Bible tonight. Lord, I pray that if they have questions or doubts, that they'll share those things tonight, that we can find the answers together in the Word of God. And Father, I pray for those that are lost, that they'll be saved. For the saved, that they'll give their whole heart to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for giving us your Word, the written Word that you preserved, and even greater, that you gave us your Son, the Word of God, the Creator of all things, to be our Savior. And we just pray that you'll help in all things tonight. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.